for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, November the 28th, 1999. Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Robert Cameron, the Cameron family from Virginia Beach, Virginia, is the minister of the morning.
Oh, praise the Lord. I'll tell you the truth. I'm tired, but I'm blessed. It's been a good conference. I've been ministered to. And the flesh gets weary, but the spirit is thriving. And the spirit is excited. Can I hear an amen? Hallelujah. Just turn that down. Just a little shade. You can cut the monitors off for the speaker, everyone. Hallelujah. It's good. If you haven't got my CDs or tapes yet, this is your last chance. Somebody just asked me this morning, do you have them on cassette? Certainly we have. And you be sure and get them after the service. Your last chance. Unless you're coming tonight. It's good to be here. I'm still ringing just a little bit. But I'm sure they're working feverishly on it. Hey, let's give Dan a good hand. Hey, I'll tell you what. You know, it's very difficult. This is a very difficult building to get the sound right on. Because the roofs are low and the speakers are in the ceiling. We're going to pray that God's going to provide speakers over here, so it'll be a lot better, you know. But it's very difficult. So when you see these little mistakes, and by the way, when Phil was singing, it was me that made that noise. I hate to tell you, I put the thing in my back pocket and I switched it on and it caused all the problems. Me, guilty. I'll just take the blame and get the blessing. Sorry, Phil. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, I need a drink. Just a second.
Take a drink.
Yes. Take a drink. It's been good to be here. I appreciate Glenn and Irma inviting me to come. And they only invite me to come more times a year, but I'm just so busy I can't get the other times a year. But I'm glad they invite me to come down on Thanksgiving and meet all you nice people. And kind of nowadays, it's kind of just revisiting old friends. Not too old friends, but you know what I mean.
Older
friends. But you know what they say, the older the fiddle, the sweeter the tune. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to speak this morning on vision. But I'm not going to be long today because, I think you've been long all week. But I picked up this funny story and I thought I'll read it to you this morning. This guy applies to be a deacon. And how many know a little novice, a little knowledge is dangerous? So this Sam applies to be a deacon in this church, and so he's in front of the deacon board, and they're asking him a question. This is what they say. Sam, what part of the Bible do you like best? Well, sir, I like the New Testament best, sir. What book in the New Testament? What book, sir? What book? I think it's the book of parables, sir. Would you kindly relate one of those parables to this council? Poor Sam was up against it. There was a possibility that the members of the council knew no more about the Bible than he did. So he decided to make a bold attempt and proceeded as follows. Well, once upon a time, a man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, and the thorns grew up and choked that man. And he went on, and he didn't have no money. And he met the Queen of Sheba, and she gave that man, sir, 1,000 talents of gold and silver and 100 changes of raiment. And when he was driving along under a big tree, his hair got caught in a limb and left him hanging there. Yes, sir, and he hung there many days and many nights, and the ravens brought him food to eat and water to drink. And one night while he was hanging there asleep, his wife Delilah came along and cut his hair off. And he dropped down and fell on a stony ground. And it began to rain, and it rained 40 days and 40 nights, and he hid himself in a cave. And the man went into the highways and the byways and compelled him to come in. He went on and came to Jerusalem, and he saw Queen Jezebel sitting high up in the window. And when she saw him, she laughed and said, when he saw her, he laughed and said, throw her down out of there. And they threw her down. And he said, throw her down again. And they threw her down 70 times, 7 times. And the fragments they picked up there were 12 baskets full. Now, whose wife will she be in the days of the judgment? There was no one on the council who felt qualified to question the candidate further, and he got the job. You'd be amazed. Dr. Mel's laughing there because he knows what I'm talking about. You'd be amazed. You'd be amazed. It's okay to have fun, isn't it? Praise God. I'll tell you, I've really enjoyed the ministry this weekend. Dr. Knoll spoke on rejection one of the days, and I thought it was just wonderful. It's one of the best I've heard, and just amazing. The ministry and Tommy, and I'll tell you, folks, we are privileged people. You know, I wrote a song years ago, Precious Moments, Privileged People. When you realize the good things God has done, lift your hands and shout amen, friend, for to the thankful heart a double portion comes. And we are privileged people to be down here in this little camp listening to the ministry that you've been listening to. Because I'll tell you, God sent us here. God sent the men and women here. God sent us here to minister to you. God sent you here to minister to us. And I just think it's wonderful. I think that even the staff, Tony and the cooking, they've done a great job. And Crystal and Reba and all the gang there. I mean, it just you know, I think it pays to be thankful, doesn't it? It pays to be thankful. I believe one of the greatest sins you and I can commit as Christians is having an unthankful spirit. And Timothy there in the Bible says, in the last days, perilous times will come. And it goes on a whole list of sins. And right in the middle of that, the list of sins is unthankful, unholy. And I think it pays us to be thankful. And don't be afraid to say it. Don't be afraid to say, you know, pass somebody and say, hey, Dr. Null, you did a good job. Hey, Crystal, you did a nice job. And, you know, Phil, you sang well, even though I ruined your mic system. You know, just, you know, Glenn played the tambourine well. Praise God, as well as could be expected, praise God. And didn't Irma sell books well, praise God. She can tell Glenn well, I'll tell you. Praise God. I better get to preaching here. I was sitting here yesterday when somebody was preaching yesterday morning and a guy over behind me was snoring well. I couldn't believe he's sitting snoring behind me as Tommy was preaching yesterday morning. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Got it? 1 Samuel chapter 3. Can you understand me all right? The Bible says if one comes among you speaking in an unknown tongue, pray that he may interpret. It's improving, yeah.
I can interpret.
You can. Okay, thank you, Cameron. Thank you. There's only two types of people in the world, you know. Scotsmen and those that would like to be. Somebody said Scottish is the heavenly language. Somebody said it must be because it's no earthly use. Praise God. Listen to the word of the Lord here this morning. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. That's sad, isn't it? There were not many visions. And one night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. See, usual place. I mentioned it the other night. The Holy Spirit quickened me. That's why I'm preaching this morning. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Take note of that. Then the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel answered him, here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. But Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back and lie down. So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. My son Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. I mean, how dumb can you be and still breathe? I mean, what does it take to hear the voice of God? Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am. You called me. Then, after three times, Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and laid down in his place. And the Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Two is the number of witness. Amen? And Samuel said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. The Lord has added a blessing to the reading of his word. I want to share a little bit this morning on vision. On vision, on keeping the vision fresh. Keeping the vision fresh. The text here this morning is verse 2. One night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. He was lying down in his usual place. And I'm going to tell you, folks, if you and I accept the usual, we're going to get the usual. But I was telling you the other night that God wants to take us out of the usual place and put us in the unusual place. The Bible says in Peter there, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people.
That doesn't mean you're a bunch of oddballs. That doesn't mean you're a bunch of weirdos. And in the church, we have a bunch of weirdos. But I don't think that's what God wants us to be, a bunch of weirdos. Bunch of sickos. God wants us to be an unusual people. An unusual people. The kind of people that in the midst of the storm, there's a calm. In the midst of sorrow, we've got joy. That's unusual, isn't it? In the midst of turmoil, there's peace. God wants us to be unusual. The Bible says there were not many visions. Visions were rare. It's amazing, isn't it? The thing was, the visions were rare. It wasn't because God wasn't speaking. It was men and women weren't listening. Or in this case, the men of God, the priests in the tabernacle, weren't listening to God. God has always spoken. God's spoken since the beginning of time. I remember hearing a story about a little orphan boy, tattered orphan boy in India, and he met an atheist one, and the little boy was a Christian. And the atheist said, "Do you believe in God?" He says, "Yes, sir." He said, "Do you believe in God is a good God?" He says, "Yes, sir." He said, "Do you believe in God talks today?" He says, "Yes, sir." He says, "Well, if you believe God talks today, how come God hasn't spoken to someone to come and give you a new suit and come and feed you and clothe you?" And the little boy looked up into the atheist and said, "Oh, yes." He says, "God has spoken. It's those that he's spoken to haven't listened and haven't paid attention and haven't been obedient." Good answer. There were not many visions. It's not that God wasn't talking. It's that men were busy with the work of the Lord. There are so many times we can get busy with the work of the Lord and lose sight of the Lord of the work. Busy as usual. And the Israelites, the Bible says that when the Ark of God was taken, and Israel kept on in business. Business as usual. Ark of God is taken. The blessing's taken. The power is taken. But somehow or other, this business was going on. We need the presence of God. So many times we can get bogged down in business as usual. Going through the routine. Going through the daily routine, the daily ritual. I'll tell you, when the Holy Ghost touched me, it really touched my life about 4 years ago again. I was at a church one night and I was prayed for and I was slain in the spirit. I was knocked down. I mean, it's amazing. Nobody ever prayed for me yet. They were coming along the line. The Holy Ghost just hit me. I fell down. And I didn't feel any shaking or laughing or anything else. I felt just the wind of the Holy Ghost knocked me off my feet. And I laid there still. And I laid there for about half an hour. My wife's lying down beside me. And finally, we got up and home that night about 12 o'clock. The next day, I'm sitting in my office, business as usual. How many times are we guilty of business as usual? And I'm sitting at the computer, of business as usual. And all of a sudden, I began to weep, and weep, and weep, and weep. And I know I wasn't having a nervous breakdown because it felt good. I've ministered with people having nervous breakdowns, and it doesn't feel good. I've never met a happy, depressed person. Have you? It's a paradox. And I was sitting there, and I couldn't stop weeping. I called my wife and said, "Honey," I said, "the Holy Ghost all over my office. I can't stop weeping." That's not a pretty sight, by the way. To see me cry is not a pretty sight at all. But I don't care. Somebody says to see my life is not a free sight either. But I was, and I called my pastor. I said, "You know, Wallace is the Holy Ghost all over this office." And I'll tell you, I wept for months and months and months. And I was the happiest person in Virginia Beach. Because God had taken me out the usual place. And put me in the unusual place. Can I hear an amen? God wants to take you out of the usual. I was visited by the Holy Spirit. I had a vision by the Holy Spirit. It's important that you and I keep our vision fresh and not lose sight of where we're going. Someone has said that a vision not ventured becomes a dream. A vision not ventured becomes a dream. And God's not looking for dreamers. He's looking for visionaries. Can I hear an amen? He's looking for visionaries. He's looking for those that have vision, those that have something in life to go for. Somebody said if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. I need to write that one down. I didn't have that in here. That was just off my head there. And God's not looking for dreamers. He's looking for visionaries, folks. It's time to keep your vision sharpened again. It's time to keep your vision fresh. I know what I'm talking about. I've been 31 years in the ministry. And about 4 years ago, like I said, before the Holy Spirit hit me, my vision was getting kind of pretty dull. You know, same old, ho-hum, ho-hum. Sing a few songs, preach to people, you know, get the people happy, preach them, bless them. And the Word of God will never return void. But in here, I was as dry as an old Adam's boot. It's pretty dry. But oh, when the Holy Ghost comes and your vision starts to get sharpened again. Your vision gets quickened again. Man, you can hardly stop me. And that's 4 years. I know this wasn't just emotional, because had it been emotional, I would have dried up again long time ago. But this is 4 years ago, and nearly 5 years ago. It's 4 years ago this next month, and I'm still more excited than I was 4 years ago, when you get your vision sharpened. A person without a vision will always revisit the past. A person without a vision will always revisit the past. Have you ever listened to old people sitting, you know, people that have retired and their lives, I don't talk about Christians, I'm just talking about people in general. They're retired and their vision for their life's over, and they sit and tell the same old stories time after time after time. You know what I'm talking about? No, I'm not criticizing, I'm just bringing out a point here. My wife says that I start to repeat myself. I must be getting old. She says, you told that story before. So that's kind of scary when they start saying that, because I can remember my dad used to tell the same stories all the time to me, you know, after he stopped traveling. Because, you know, you lose your vision, then you revisit your past. And they talk about the good old days. You don't have to be old to do that. You just have to lose vision for your life. And all of a sudden you realize you're talking about the good old days, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. You remember those days. And I'm convinced the devil wants to keep your nose in history, but the Holy Ghost wants to put your head in the future. It's good to look back. And the Bible says, remove not the ancient landmarks, and it's good to have a heritage, and it's good to think back, and it's good to have landmarks. But I'll tell you what, he doesn't want you looking in history all the time. He doesn't want you in the history books. He wants you in the prophetic book. Hallelujah. See what God's doing and what God's going to do. The good old days. And they talk about the good old days. I'll tell you what, though. Somebody said that distance lends enchantment to the view. You talk about the good old days, but if you really remember back, it wasn't so good old. They weren't so good old days after all. They weren't as good as you remember them, because distance lends enchantment to the view. I remember good old days. I'll tell you what, this is a better day that I've ever lived in. I feel better now, and I feel more blessed now than ever felt before. Amen. Thank you for that wonderful response. You know, talk about this. Speak, Lord, for your servant here. I had a friend in Glasgow. His name is Jimmy. Everybody in Glasgow is called Jimmy. What am I talking about? You know, that's a fact. If anybody in Glasgow meets you, they'll say, hello, Jimmy. It's just, well, your name's Jimmy. That's an expression. But this guy whose name was Jimmy. And he'd been reading the scripture. This is like 25 years ago. And it just came to mind. He was reading the scripture. And in Scotland, the letter boxes are on the door. You know, they've got spring-loaded brass letter boxes. So you can put the letter in. And you can kind of look in and have a look in if you're really nosy, you know. And people do. You know what I mean, Cameron? So, anyway, friends of mine were coming down from the north to visit Jimmy, and they were kind of late at night, so Jimmy was in reading the Bible, and he was reading the script, and he got all caught up in it. And a friend, you know, he's trying the door, the door's locked, so he opens the letter box and says, Jimmy, Jimmy. And Jimmy gets so taken up with this verse, Jimmy's sitting there and said, yes, speak, Lord, your servant here. Honestly, God. He gets so engrossed in the scripture, yes, Lord, your servant. Remember the story in Ezra 3, when the old priest came to the foundations of the tabernacle, the good old days. The old priest looked at the foundations, overrun by weeds and grass. And the Bible says that they wept, Ezra 3:12, they wept while the young men shouted for joy. You know why the old priest wept? They were remembering the former things. They were remembering the good old days. And they were thinking in their minds, it'll never be the same again. And they were right. It wasn't going to be the same again. It was going to be bigger and better and greater and grander. Hallelujah. The Bible says the glory of this house, God said in Haggai, the glory of the present house is going to be greater than that of the former. Can I hear an amen? And I'm going to, and they were there weeping in the old days when the young man with vision. And listen, you don't have to be young to have a vision. I'm just bringing out a story here. When the young man had vision, they shouted for joy because they saw what it was going to be. They saw what it could be. They saw what God said it was going to be. I'm going to tell you, folks, I don't care how old you are this morning. It's not time to retire. It's time to refire. Hallelujah. It's time to get your vision in check. It's time to sharpen your vision again. It's time to move on and go on for God. John 21, Jesus is taken and the disciples are sitting there and Peter gets disheartened. Peter gets depressed. And he says to the guys, I'm going fishing. He lost his vision. He was, you know, and sometimes an enemy will come along and bring discouragement, so to take away the focus of your vision. He'll do all, because Peter said, they were just sitting there, Jesus had been crucified, and Peter said to the man, well, I'm going fishing. And you can imagine when he's saying that, he's just disgusted with himself. He's just, the hope, you could just, if you read it, you could read the pathos in between the lines. I'm going fishing. You know the sad thing? The other disciples said to him, well, we'll come with you. If you lose your vision and you get depressed and you go fishing, you'll bring other people with you. So many lives depend on what I do. He lost his vision for a while. It wasn't long before he got it back. But when you lose your vision, you go back to the old ways. Jesus had taken him from the fishing. Jesus said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." But they lost their vision. What happens? You go back to the past. I go fishing. I'm going to tell you, God doesn't want you going back to your past. God wants you moving on in the power of the Spirit in the new day. Your past could be blemished. Your past could be marred. But I'm going to tell you, your future is spotless. Your future is spotless. It's like looking out of a window after a heavy snow, and there's not one mark, not a footprint in the snow. That's how your future is this morning. Oh, the past could be full of footprints, full of ruts, full of heartaches. But your future is spotless. Get vision for your future this morning. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Proverbs 29 and 18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint." Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. In other words, they do what they want to do. That's the thing in the world today, isn't it? Just do it. You see the sign, just do it. It's not a good saying at all if you're looking from the world's point of view. If you're taking from vision point of view, that's a good saying. But the world, they just mean, just, if it feels good, do it. That's what the world means. If it feels good, do it. For people, where there is no vision, the people perish. King James says the people perish. Because when you cast off restraint, you're on your way to perishing. But I like to add, but where the people have vision, where there is vision, the people flourish. Amen? Where there is no vision, the people perish. But where there is vision, the people flourish. Hallelujah. The people flourish. And then the Bible says that if the vision tarry, wait for it. Maybe God's given you vision for your life and you just haven't seen it yet. You know, when God gives you a promise and you say amen to that promise, how many has ever got promises from God? What, two of us? I'm in trouble here. Three of us, four of us. That's good. That's good. Get them hands up. What's wrong with you? Get exercising. Make room for your lunch. When God gives you a promise, by the time you say amen to that promise, by the time you say amen to "there it is," it could be a long time. Any experience that? It could be a hard time. It could be a confusing time. But I'm going to tell you this morning, if God gives you a promise, it doesn't matter if come hail or high water, that promise is going to be fulfilled. You remember that bumper sticker of Jesus said it? Jesus said it, I believe it, that settles it. Listen, if Jesus said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. We should really read, Jesus said it, that settles it, and I believe it. Between amen and there it is can be a hard time, but don't lose your vision. God has never broken a promise spoken. If the vision tarry, wait for it. Vision. Vision gives us boundaries. Vision gives us boundaries. You know, without a vision, you're just kind of floating along in the sea of time like a piece of flotsam and jetsam. You're just floating. You're drifting. But with vision, you've got something to go for. Amen? I mean, it's like target, you know, like a bow and arrow at a target, or like at golf. You know, I love to play golf, but, you know, you've got vision in golf because you're going for that green, hopefully. Whatever way we're going to get there, Larry, we're going to get to, that's our goal. Our vision is to get into that little hole there. I was playing last week with my pastor, and he got a hole in one. That's the first time I played with someone got a hole in one. And the laugh of it, he played rubbish all day until the seventh hole, and he put this hole in one, and his game just turned away, and off he went. Because he had vision, he's aiming for that hole. And vision will give you boundaries, good boundaries. Have you ever met brats? You ever came across children that were just brats? Excuse my vernacular. But I've seen children without boundaries that are just total brats. They misbehave, they can't sit in a service 5 minutes because the mother or the father's never given them any vision for their life. We deal with children off the streets in our church. And, I mean, there's nothing wrong with the kids. It's just that they've never had any vision for their life, so there's no boundaries. Huh. What about some grown-ups we've met? I've met grown-ups that had no vision for their lives, and they just have no boundaries. Vision will give you boundaries. Boundaries with your children. He'll give you boundaries with your money. Why are poor people poor? I'll tell you why. In most cases, because they've got no vision for their lives, and they just squander their money. I know some people, you can give them $100,000 tomorrow, and within 6 months they'll still be poor because of no boundaries in their life, no vision in their life.
Thank you, Gene.
I'm telling you, folks, we need vision. We need vision for our finances. We need vision for our children. We need vision for our ministry. We need to learn to hear from God. Visions were rare. It's sad, isn't it? Visions were rare. My goodness. Because Eli was so busy working in the temple. Eli lost his vision. The Bible says he was old and could barely see. That's in the natural, but in the spiritual aspect, he was allowing his sons to go over the parameters that they should have gone over. His sons were committing sin. And he didn't care because he lost his vision. And without vision, you have no boundaries. And I don't care who you are. If it's the Cameron family or the Knolls or the Millers, it doesn't matter. If you lose our vision, we lose our boundaries. If you lose your boundaries, you're in dangerous territory. Is that okay?
Amen.
Well, that's a correction there with a smile. I mean, that's easy. Thank you. Ooh. If you want to know where your vision is with your money, just check your check stubs. Read your check stubs. You'll see where your vision is as far as money is concerned. Just take a look at all your check stubs and see where you spend your money. You'll find out where your vision is in your money life. Amen? Vision drives us to new heights, stretches us. Vision will stretch you. That's why the Bible says he wants to make us new wineskins, because he wants us to be stretchable. How many are stretchable this morning? Because vision's going to stretch you. Vision's going to stretch your faith. Vision will stretch you, it'll just stretch you. But God wants us to be stretched. That's why the Bible says in Luke 5, you can't put new wine into old wineskins because the wineskins will burst. Because old wineskins were not stretchable. And when the new wine fermented and bubbled and expanded, and what happened in the fermentation process, it would expand and burst the skins. When you've got vision, it's going to expand you. Vision is going to stretch you. Our church is just having a tremendous move of the Holy Spirit in Virginia Beach, but it's stretching us all. All the pastors were getting stretched. 700 people saved, that's going to stretch you, because you've got to do things to keep these 700 people in your church. You've got to learn to disciple them and train them and teach them. Don't blame them, train them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it's stretching us. But we're stretchable because you've got vision. You've got vision. You've got vision. Vision will drive you into more prayer time, more worship time, more giving, more compassion, more surrender. A couple of things I want to share here tonight, on this morning, on lack of vision. Number one, if you're writing, taking notes, take this down. Number one, lack of vision will bring complacency. Lack of vision will bring complacency. The Bible says that he went to his usual place. That speaks of complacency. And where there is complacency, there is no expectancy. Amen? I'll run that one by again. Where there is complacency, there is no expectancy. And I found out in my life, in my short life, I found out this. If you don't expect, you don't get. I remember Oral Roberts had the expression, expect a miracle. A simple little three words, a simple little one-liner, and yet it changed lives. It's changed thousands of lives. Because it just put it in perspective. Expect a miracle. Expect a miracle. If you don't expect, you don't get. In fact, complacency should be a curse word in the kingdom of God. It should be a word we shouldn't use. It's so bad. It should never be mentioned amongst us. Because it's not the vision of the kingdom. Can I hear an amen? Remember the story in Matthew 25 when the seven gives five talents and two talents and one talent? And he finally gets down to the guy with the one talent. He says, no, what did you do with it? Well, he says, I'll tell you what, Lord. He says, I know you're a bad man, this and that. And I hid the talent. He says, I hid it. Here you are, that's your talent back. And the Bible says that the man took the talent from him and gave it to another and cast him into the lake of fire. God wants you to expect. God wants you. He was so complacent. He just kept the one talent, did nothing with it, while the rest made it and used the talent and multiplied the talent. Listen, God wants you not to be complacent. He wants you to multiply yourself. The first thing you learn in leadership is you need to train people to take over your job so you can be out of a job. It goes for every one of us. We need to be training people here so Glenn's out of a job. So he can do something else. You understand what I'm saying? Saying the usual things. Just believe in for the usual. The trouble with us is we expect too little and we quit too soon. We expect too little and we quit too soon. Complacency puts you in a rut. And the only difference between a rut and a grave is a matter of depth. The only difference between a rut and a grave is a matter of depth. If you're in a rut long enough, it'll turn into your grave. Amen? I remember seeing a sign in Alaska. It says, an Alaskan highway, pick your rut carefully. You'll be in it for the next 400 miles. Because of the snow and the bad weather. Complacency will put you in a rut. Number two, lack of vision will bring lack of intimacy. Verse 2. It said, he could barely see. He was lying down in his usual place. In verse 3, the lamp of God was not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. What you'll notice about the usual place, it's not where the ark of God is. It's not where God is. It's where you are. Because God's always in the unusual place. The Bible says Samuel went to his usual place. Eli went to his usual place while Samuel went and laid down by the ark of God in the temple. Number one, number two, it'll bring lack of intimacy. Somehow or other, when you get complacent, when you lose your vision, you pull yourself away from that relationship with God. Why? Because you can't have that relationship without vision. Does it make sense? Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Lack of intimacy. We pull away. Samuel was seated, lying down beside the presence of God. Eli was in his usual place, away from the presence of God. And oh, folks, this morning, I pray that none of us sit in that usual place. And if you find yourself in the usual place, let's shake yourself. Samuel was in the usual place. Samson, he got in the usual place. He thought he could just go up and shake himself as at other times. But he got a shock one time because that power of God had let, he lost his vision and given his strength away to the enemy. And he got up as at other times in the usual to shake himself and that power was gone. Listen, if you find yourself in the usual place, it's time to stir yourself. Awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead and Christ will give you light. It'll bring complacency. It'll bring lack of intimacy. We lose our first love. We stop praying. We cut down our prayer life. We cut down our praise life. We stop telling God we love Him so much. I remember reading a story about this preacher started off with a small church, and every morning at 7 o'clock he would go in and have a prayer time with God and pray in tongues and speak to God, and God would speak to him. But as time goes on, people started to come to his church. His church began to multiply, and finally he had so many people that he just, you know, dropped off of the early morning prayer meetings. And one day, years later, he's walking down the road and the Holy Spirit said to him, God's got a message for you. And the pastor's walking down towards the church, walking towards his office, his big, big multi-building office. Holy Spirit said, God's given me a message to give you. He said, what is it? I miss you. I'm going to tell you, folks, when you lose that lack of intimacy, he misses us. Because he's looking for lovers. Can I say that? In the right spirit. He's looking for lovers this morning. Oh, there's many people know about him. There's many people who can preach and don't know him. Jarman, we used to know him in California, preached for 40 years. And wasn't even saved. Preached for 40 years, wasn't even saved. There's many people know about him. But he's looking for a relationship this morning. He's looking for intimacy. And lack of vision brings lack of intimacy. The Bible says in Genesis 5, Enoch walked with God. The word there for walk, the Hebrew word is halak. It means that he walked side by side, shoulder to shoulder. He didn't walk ahead of him. He didn't lag behind him. He walked with him. He walked with God. And I'm going to tell you, folks, when you and I get vision, we won't run ahead of God. Amen? We won't drag behind him. We'll be walking shoulder to shoulder, talking with God. He walked with God. In other words, the thought behind that word halak is they spoke together. They'd converse together. They bounced off one another. They talked together. That's why God says in Isaiah to the children of Israel in Isaiah 1 and 18, he says, come. Come, let's reason together. Come, let's reason together. How can you reason together unless you've come together? Can two come together except to be agreed? How can two walk together except to be agreed? It's that word halak again. God's looking for intimacy this morning. Where are you? Where are you in your vision? Are you losing it? Are you ahead of him? Are you behind him? Are you walking with him and listening to him and loving him and hearing him say, I love you too? You notice when you sing that song, you tell him you love him and you can hear God say back, and I love you too. Hallelujah. Lack of vision causes complacency, causes lack of intimacy, causes insensitivity. Verse 5. And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." And Eli said, "I didn't call you." You would think that Eli, being in the place he was, would have recognized right away God was talking to little Samuel. But you see what happens, when you lose your vision, you lose your sensitivity to the things of the Spirit. You lose your sensitivity. Three times that young boy had to go to Eli and tell him, "Did you call me?" And finally the penny dropped. Duh. And he said, he realized it was God. How insensitive can you get, folks? I see insensitive people all the time. You're preaching away and the Holy Spirit's moving and they're thinking, the roast's on. You know, Tony's got the meal ready. You know, doesn't he know it's time to stop? Total insensitivity. You know, in Leviticus 21, those 18 conditions that a priest, you couldn't be a priest. And one of the conditions was you couldn't be a priest if you had a broken nose. Because that meant you couldn't smell. You were insensitive to the aroma that was going on in the tabernacle, in the temple. And I'm going to tell you, folks, you can't have a broken nose. If you're going to have vision, you need to get your nose fixed. Can I hear an amen? If you get a broken nose, you're going to lose your vision. Because it brings lack of insensitivity. That's what it means. It means no sensitivity. The Bible says his praises arise like a sweet-smelling savour. You're just not sensitive enough. You know, when it's time to praise, everybody's praising. I was watching, even this week, we're praising God one night, and somebody's got their head stuck in the Bible. You know, when we're praising God, you don't need to have your head stuck in the Bible.
Right.
Unity is when we praise, we all praise. When we pray, we all pray. When the fellow preaches, you all listen. Then you can get your head stuck in the Bible. But it's a sensitivity. You got your head stuck in the Bible while everybody else is praising. No, unity is when we praise, we all praise. That's a soft correction there for you. So don't do, if you're doing it, don't do it again. Realize it's insensitivity. It's insensitivity. And finally, lack of vision will cause calamity. It'll cause complacency. It'll cause lack of intimacy. It'll cause insensitivity. And finally, it'll cause calamity. That's good homiletics. Did you know that? If you want to be a preacher, that's called homiletics. You'll enjoy that. Calamity, verse 11. And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end." Because Eli lost his vision, he lost his family. He lost the priesthood. Because you lost his vision. I'm going to tell you, folks, it brings calamity. When you lose your vision, it brings calamity. It brings chaos. It brings trouble. It brings rebellion. I'm going to tell you, every time that I've come across somebody that was rebellious, you can put your money on it, they've lost their vision somewhere. And instead of finding their vision back, they're rebelling at you. They're getting back at somebody else. Lack of vision will cause rebellion. Lack of vision will cause a whole lot of gossiping. Do you know that what I notice is when the Holy Ghost is moving, the church is on fire, the church is going, and the vision is strong, there's very little gossiping going around. Very little rebellion going on. Because what happens, those that have lost their vision either catch the vision or get out. Because they can't stand the heat. But when you lose your vision, it causes calamity. It causes calamity. Do you know the Titanic didn't have to sink that night? You know that 2 or 3 hours before, the operator got 3 or 4 messages to say that it was icebergs in it. But he was so, he lost his vision and just didn't care. He just hung the message up on the thing because they thought that Titanic was invincible. And because of lack of vision on his part, we have that tremendous calamity that we study in history. Very quickly, how do we keep the vision fresh? We've seen what lack of vision causes. It causes complacency, lack of intimacy, insensitivity, and calamity. How do we keep the vision fresh? Number one, write it down. If God gives you a vision, write it down. He told the prophets, write it down. Write it down. Write it down. You ever notice that if you're sitting in a church and you listen to the preacher preaching, if you write down the notes, you'll remember them far better, even without reading them. It's a good exercise. Of course, teachers tell you that from the get-go, from the school. If you write it down, you remember them far better. And not only that, if you did forget them, they're written down for you to take a check, to check them up again. In the tabernacle, along with the worshippers, along with the praisers, and along with the musicians, there were scribes. Because when God spoke, the scribe was busy writing it down. Because you didn't want to lose it. It was precious. And if your vision's precious to you this morning, Write it down.
Write it down. Write it down. The commandments were written down on tablets of stone, weren't they? Because he wanted the people to make sure. And I told you the other night that Monty wrote his vision down. And it came to pass. The second thing is, get out of the usual place. Get out of the usual place. Get your minds broadened. Get your minds broadened. You know, it's good to travel to different places and to see where God's moving. You know, I hear people say, well, you don't have to go there to see the move of God. You don't have to go there. You don't. Probably you don't. But I mean, I think it's good to broaden your mind. Travel broadens your mind. And I love to go to different conferences. It's nothing to do with my church. I just love to, if it's something that's in the move of the Holy Spirit, like Toronto and Brownsville, I've gone all them and just to see what God's doing and to get that feel of what God's saying down there, because it broadens your mind. If you want to keep your vision, you need to get your mind broadened. Some of us are so narrow-minded, we can look through a keyhole with both eyes. Think of that one. It's a good one. Don't settle for the good. Good is the enemy of the best. Get out of the comfort zone and get into the commitment zone. Get out of the puddle and get into the river. Some of us are still puddling about in puddles when the Holy Spirit has got a river. And it's a big river. Ezekiel said it's a river that couldn't be measured. It's not just a little river. It's not a little tributary. It's a river that couldn't be measured. Get out the puddle, get out the river. Get out of the usual place. Number three, expect God to move. Expect God to move. When you sing, expect the Holy Spirit to minister to you. When you preach, expect things to happen. I remember hearing a story about this Australian preacher, a young guy. He was starting his ministry, and he's going on for about 4 weeks in his ministry, just a rookie. And he felt he had a healing ministry. So this one night, he starts to pray for people, and about the fourth one down the line, this woman shouts, I'm healed! I'm healed! He said, you're kidding! You're kidding! He didn't expect. He's praying for people to get healed, but I'll tell you, if you're going to pray for people, if you're going to have vision, start expecting God to do things. Yeah. Be determined about it. Not only expect it, but be determined about it. I was driving down the highway one day, and I was praying for my family, and I have four of the children. I have two sons that really are running from God, and one son is really giving me a hard time, keeping me on my knees, as it were. And I was driving on the highway one day. The Holy Spirit said to me, "You have to be just as determined to see your children saved as the devil is determined to have them." Amen. I'm going to tell you, folks, envision. Be determined to see that vision. Be determined to have that vision fulfilled. Somebody said, pray as though everything depends on God, and work as though everything depends on you. Be determined. Be determined. Ask God to bring the vision about. Ask Him. James 4 says, you have not because you ask not. Ask Him. If you don't ask, it's 100% no. If you do ask, it's a 50% chance you'll get a yes. But the trouble with us is, for so many years, from the time you're born, one of the first things you're told as a young kid is, don't ask. Remember that? Can I have a cookie? Don't ask. And that's in us, that's in our inner being, and we just don't like to ask. Can I have that, Mom? Don't ask. You know, visit somebody's house, don't ask. I might know what I'm talking about. And that's in our subconscious, and we just don't like to ask. But the Bible says, ask of me, and I will give the nations. When Jesus was getting ready to heal anybody, he always asked them, what do you want me to do? Remember Bartimaeus, blind Bart? He cries, Jesus, the son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus said to him, what would you like me to do? And I can imagine the disciples nudging one another. It's obvious the man's blind. I mean, you know, he's blind. But you see, Jesus wanted him to say it, because he maybe wanted something else. He asked Solomon, what do you want, Solomon? Solomon could have asked for riches, but he says, give me wisdom. And God said, you've asked a good thing, and because of wisdom, you're going to get the rich, you'll be the richest man in earth. What do you want me to ask? He wants to hear you. What do you want? I want to see my family saved. I want to see that church there. I want to see this here. I want to see these bodies healed. Can I hear an amen? Ask. Number four, very quickly. Time's gone. Fellowship with visionaries. Fellowship with visionaries. My father used to say to me, follow successful people. Follow successful people. Don't follow unsuccessful people, or you go down the tube like them. But if you're going to follow anybody, follow somebody that's successful.
If you're going to preach, listen to the good preachers and learn to preach good. Can I hear an amen? Because I found out this out in my life, bad attitudes rub off just as easy as good ones. So if you get amongst people that are visionaries, get amongst people that have got good habits, can I hear an amen? In fact, the Bible says, mark them that cause division. Stay away from them. Have nothing to do with them. Proverbs 27 and 17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so man sharpens man. Get in with people that are visionaries. And begin to let them sharpen you and hone you and change you and chip you and clip you until you find out you get the vision just like them. You'll just get like them. Amen? People say you get like the people you're with. And finally, talk about the vision. Bring it to life. Talk about your vision. Bring it to life. My father, 1965, my father's down in London. That's where they first met Glenn. And they came back from the Full Gospel Business Convention in London, 1965. My family were business people. They owned a furniture store in our hometown and a construction company and a fishing net company. And they were all tied up in business. They were lay preachers, but they were tied up in business. And on the way back from London in 1965, my dad went to bed one night. The Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, you're going to be in America a year from now. So he told his brothers. His brothers laughed at him and said, how can we be in America? We couldn't even get the businesses sold by then. How can that be true? 1 year to the day, the 17th of March, 1966, the Camerons landed in America. The business was sold, and they landed in America. Why? Because my father had a vision, he spoke about it, and he acted accordingly. He went for it because he knew God had given him a vision. And as Paul Harvey says, you know the rest of the story. We're still here, going stronger than ever before. Remember Martin Luther King? I've had a dream. And he told his dream. And because of that dream, we've changed the whole lot of the South. And can I hear an amen? Some of you maybe don't like it, but the fact is it's changed. It's changed. It was God. Share it with others and cultivate it. In our church, we have meetings all the time with the staff and the pastor to sharpen, to keep the vision in front of us, to keep the vision sharp. Leonardo da Vinci was most of you know him, and he painted the painting, The Last Supper. I believe it's in Forest Lawn in Los Angeles. A famous painting. And when he painted it originally, before he showed it to anybody, he asked one of his friends to come over and look at it. So, who was an artist? You know, these artist people have an eye for paintings that you and I don't see. I mean, my older son, he's a bit of an artist. And, you know, he sees beauty in something that I'm thinking, where on earth could he see that? I mean, you know, I'm looking at it. And, you know, oh, that beautiful dad. I don't see it, but, you know, I'm just not in that artsy kind of groove there. But, you know, so he got his artsy friend over, and he's looking at this painting of the Last Supper. And here's Jesus with the disciples, and Jesus is holding a chalice. And the fellow's standing there for 20 minutes and rapt, looking at this picture. And finally, Da Vinci said to him, what do you see? What do you see? And his friend said, oh, he says, the cup. And the story is told that Da Vinci took a paintbrush and walked over to the Last Supper and painted the cup out of the picture. He said to his friend, no, he says, I don't want you to see the cup. I want you to see the man holding the cup. Listen, folks, God doesn't want us just having a vision. God wants us to have focused vision. Can I hear an amen? Not just vision. God wants us to have focused vision. And I want to challenge you this morning. It's time to focus your vision. It's time to focus your vision. Listen to this. With this I'll close. And when I say I'll close, I mean I'll close right now. I'm not like some of them and say I'll close and 20 minutes later. I'm closing. Because I smell the beef through there in the kitchen. If we have vision and passion, remember I spoke about passion the other night? If we have vision and passion, we won't have to worry about discipline and commitment. Hallelujah. You believe that? If you have vision and passion, you don't have to tell Dr. Noel to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. He just gets up. I have a little more problem with that. But he gets up because he's got vision for it. But if you've got vision and passion, you won't have to worry about what? What did I say? Discipline and commitment. Well, yeah, you never heard me. Get your hearing focused there. Discipline and commitment. Good, I'll think about it. I'll put it in. Thank you. I'm preaching here, Sasha. I want to keep it. Vision and commitment. God wants to give us vision. Don't let vision take away. Don't let lack of vision bring complacency or lack of intimacy or insensitivity or calamity. Let's all stand. We're going to leave this camp meeting with vision. Amen? I'll tell you what, if you think you've got vision now, just start really praying God, asking God for vision. You'll be amazed at the vision God will give you. It's great, you know. It's big vision. It's big vision. Bigger than yourself. Remember what I said last night? David was caught up in a purpose far bigger than himself. Bigger than us. How many want to have more vision this morning?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name. Oh, I thank you, Lord, for your vision is boundless. Your vision is, Lord, it's super. It's humongous, Lord, your vision for our lives. Now, Father, I ask you to help us to sharpen our vision. Help us to keep our vision fresh. Father, I pray for everyone gathered here this morning. I pray for myself. Every one of us this morning, Lord. Help us to sharpen our vision. Help us to get our vision clear and focused. Lord, we don't want to be a piece of driftwood drifting down the sea of time. We want to have vision. We want to stand up and say, they serve their generation after the will of God. Amen. Father, I bless you for Gladys, Irma, and Dr. Null and the leadership here in the name of Jesus. I bless them. And I ask you, Lord, even Lord, them, Lord, strengthen and sharpen and focus their vision for this camp like never before. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I speak sharpened vision, focused vision to every one of us. And Lord, we will be careful to give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you. And Father, bless the food. How about it? Lord, you know we appreciate our food and we appreciate the work that goes on. So we bless it this morning, Lord. And as we go our separate ways this afternoon, be with us and protect us. And when we come together again, God willing, Father, we'll come with excitement, talking about our vision, bringing our harvest with us. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Bless you. Hallelujah.
Power of His blood, still the same today. The power of His blood still washes sins away. The power of His love draws us to His side. The power of His amazing grace redeems and justifies. The power of His cross is still the same today.
Do you believe that?
The power of His blood still washes sins away. The power of His love draws us to His side. The power of His amazing grace redeems and justifies. Oh, the power of the Father. Oh, the power of the Son. Oh, the power of the Spirit. The power of His grace to everyone. The power of His cross. The power of His cross, still the same, is still the same today. The power of His blood still washes sins away. The power of His love draws us to His side. The power of His amazing grace redeems and justifies. Oh, the power
of the Father.
Of the Father. Oh, the power of the Son. Oh, Spirit. The power of His grace to everyone.
Let the musicians play tonight, this morning. How many know the power of His cross has never changed? Still the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The power of His blood still washes sins away. And the power of His love draws us. He drew us with loving kindness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Ah, Jesus. Oh, the power of the Father. Oh, the power of the Father. Oh, the power of the Son. Oh, the power of the Spirit. The power of His grace to everyone. Oh, the power of the Father. Oh, the power of the Son. Oh, the power of the Spirit. The power of His grace. The power of His grace to everyone. The power of His grace to everyone. The power of His grace to everyone.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Oh, welcome, Holy Spirit. I stand here in Your presence. Fill me with Your power. Live inside of me. You're the living water. Comforter and counselor, come and take control. Welcome, Holy Spirit. I stand here in Your presence. Fill me with Your power. Live inside of me. You're the living water, ever flowing fountain. Comforter and counselor, come and take control. Welcome, Holy Spirit. I stand here in Your presence. Fill me with Your power. Live inside of me. You're the living water. Oh, yes. You're the living water. Ever-flowing fountain. Ever-flowing fountain. Comforter and counselor. Comforter and counselor. Come and take control. Come and take control.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.